You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. You know, tonight is all about the Law of Attraction, and we have Boston psychiatrist Dr. Michael Perlman here to talk about the power of your written word. That's right. He's going to be talking about the importance of journaling and explaining to us how it works in the brain to weed out all the cobwebs and to bring clarity into your true desires. This really makes manifestation a lot easier. This is really going to be a great show that will impact your life if you choose to write it all out. But before we get to that, guess what? We have a brand new mobile app in Google Play. It's for all of those listening on your Android device. So go to Google Play on your cell phone and put in Law of Attraction Radio Network and install the brand new beautiful app. What makes this app so special is that, well, you can turn off the 24/7 broadcast and simply click on your favorite talk show host and choose to listen to them as you are commuting or exercising or taking long walks. What this means is that you only need one app to hear every single show individually or the 24/7 broadcast. I think you're really going to like it. We've tested it out. It works fabulously. Please load it up and tell us if you like it or not. Give us your rating and your comments. And don't hesitate to contact us personally if it's not working right on your device. We will figure out what's going on. All you need to do is contact staff at loaradionetwork.com and we will get with the developer and get it resolved. Now, hopefully within a week or two, we will have our new iTunes mobile app up and running as well. But we'll keep you posted on that. Did you know that most of the U.S. listens through their iPhone or iPad or Mac? But the majority in Europe listens through their Android device. Isn't that funny? I don't know why that is. We're also creating new apps for Law of Attraction magazine, so stay tuned for that, and you'll also be able to take it anywhere as well. And you'll be able to view all the magazines. This app, again, is totally free, as well as all the issues from the past and in the future. We're not going to be charging for you to read Law of Attraction magazine. This information is being brought to us from so many different sources, so we want you to have complete access to it. So stay tuned to Law of Attraction Radio Network, and we're going to let you know when everything becomes available and where. Now, as I mentioned last week, I watched about 15 hours of the cancer movie, which is The Truth About Cancer.com. I learned so many things, but probably the most important that I want to get across to all the listeners is that cancer is not a killer. It's not anything to be afraid of. There are thousands and thousands of natural remedies born on this planet, from herbs and spices to tree bark to cannabis to essential oils, and especially real food. One of the really neat things about this movie is that it showed me many people use their intuition from the very beginning of their diagnosis. They didn't even know that they were using their intuition, but something told them to opt out of getting chemo or to just put it up for a period of time so that they could do proper research. And what happened is that they picked a natural remedy that they resonated with, and it worked every time. That's the most powerful point that I walked away from this movie. You know intuitively, instinctually, what will work for you. You just know this. All you have to do is simply tune into that inner guidance and find what feels good to you. If it doesn't feel good to you, then just don't do it. Take it from the others who have successfully cured their cancer completely without any chemo, simply by using their intuition and grabbing on to the very thing that they felt good about. And bottom line, the cancer that everyone's been so afraid of will simply show you that you've given away your power to someone else to cure you, and it's time for you to take that power back and to use your intuition to determine what will work for you and won't work. I do recommend this movie, The Truth About Cancer.com, because it will completely inspire you to take responsibility for your health and cure yourself. And I've got to admit, I took so many handwritten notes. There were so many things on there that I'm going, wow, I got to try that. Now, I have not been diagnosed with cancer, but it's like, okay, I'm zooming in on some of this stuff, and it sounds just too good not to try. I don't need a diagnosis to know that what sounds good to me is what my body is saying. Oh yeah, this is great. Let's do it. So with that, let's take a fast commercial break, and we will be back with Dr. Michael Perlman and Law of Attraction Journaling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dee Wallace, and I've created the perfect holiday gift for anyone you know who needs to love themselves more. It's a cuddly teddy bear that says 14 empowering statements that remind us all of how special we are. Order yours today for your favorite child or the child within someone you love. Go to IamDeeWallace.com and click on Bupalopaloo and join the I Love Me movement.
It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's the science behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Okay, we are back, and you are listening to Jules on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Now, let me tell you about Dr. Michael Perlman. He is a well-known Boston area psychiatrist and personal life strategist whose focus is on the spiritual side of addictions, ego or self-righteousness being the primary forms of addiction. He has dedicated his professional practice to helping others find their way through the whirlwind of thoughts about their lives to take charge of their destiny. For the past 25 years, after completing his training at Harvard Medical School's McLean Hospital, He has been a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice, specializing in the treatment of addictions, and a personal coach. Now, when you think of Dr. Perlman, think of Law of Attraction Journaling, because he created this amazing program that I'm so anxious for you to learn. Welcome, Dr. Perlman, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so thrilled and delighted that you're finally here on my show.
Thank you so much, Jules. It's really my pleasure. It's just a thrill just to be in the vibrational proximity with you.
Oh, aren't you sweet? How did you get involved? A psychiatrist, how did you get involved with the law of attraction?
Well, I think I was always involved with, call it finding my way, finding what my soul consciousness was, what I loved, and how come I was interrupted with the miserable feelings and the thoughts and behaviors I had. So I was always walking and chewing gum in this life. Sometimes I'd be taking over what was uncomfortable and behavior that was, well, that was not good for me. And other times I was really quite clear. I was almost enlightened, so to speak, if it weren't for the other half of me. And discovering those two streams of consciousness, a heart's desires on the one hand, or call it soul, call it divine, the word's less important, that you know you're in that vibration and that flow. And on the other hand, there's the animal, the fear, fight or flight mechanism, our conditioned being, which controls so much of our behavior. Even though we want to be a good boy or a good girl, how come I'm doing this and saying that and acting and so forth? And that's the dichotomy that I grappled with. And I made it my, let's say, professional career and my spiritual career to go in that direction to solve the problem.
Wow. So you help your patients understand about the law of attraction?
Well, I think it came... that I'm sort of jumping in the middle of the stream here, because it didn't start that day one, but winding up as a psychiatrist, I knew that I was dealing with people and I couldn't understand what the heck they were saying. They'd say one thing and then they go to another thing. And I was getting headaches, taking aspirin after the headaches. And then I discovered that, look, if I were to write down what they said, and even hooked up a sort of a journaling template on the one of those old TVs. This is a couple of decades ago, maybe more. And I slavishly and paid attention to what they said. This word, that thought, this situation. Now, let me see if I got this right, if I got this right. And I sort of tracked them, and I was sort of grinding at first. Then it became easier. And then finally said, yeah, that's right. That's how I feel. That's the situation. And at that moment, Jules, a light went on for both of us.
Wow.
Almost as though the recognition and putting into words, although I was doing the writing in this case, it just, oh, that's it. And the clarity was the healing factor or the liberating factor. So now you see it's an easy jump from there, of course, getting more familiar with the process, working with others, and then saying, wouldn't it be nice if I could have people doing it themselves with some prompts and guidance? And the law of attraction was always there. I mean, it from the turn of the century or last century, William Wattles, among many others,
exactly,
sort of espoused this, and millennia ago, seek and you shall find, knock and you shall be answered. So we've always been with this higher vibration, lift your eyes up unto the heavens, you see, and that putting it down by way of what we think and feel and the thoughts and the meaning of those feelings and situations was there's a German term called the Schwerpunkt, the key piece. Your thoughts, your words, your meaning, they feel this way, they feel that way. However they feel, writing them down, there is the truth, small t. Now, how would you like them to be? Mm-hmm. You get to be the observer of what the heck you're thinking, rather than the tail wagging the dog.
Wow. So you kind of stop living life by default because you have greater clarity.
Yeah. At the same time, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's that we take our guidance, because this conditioned being has been learned, we came from pure consciousness and beingness, and then we learned all sorts of default tapes from our cultural social, familial, maybe probation officers and lawyers and ex-wives and so forth. You see, we've had our experience. Now, all that is our guidance. However, we don't want the tail to wag the dog. It's let's say our compost that we make fertilizer to grow the garden.
Wow. Wow. Boy, you really know how to put words together to make so much sense. Now, how does the written word, as opposed to just verbally expressing desire, how does it work in the brain? Why is it so important? What's the difference?
Well, you've got, because I love it. I get a kick out of it. When people say, well, I'm working my program. I get up in the morning and I think about what I want for the day. And I know they're just slipping and sliding. Their mind's got them. They're not watching what they think and feel and choosing how they want things to be. So the writing it down does something by focusing the neurochemistry, if you like, so that you, from the point of observer or witness consciousness of that third person, see it, feel it, acknowledge it, appreciate it even, and are clear, this is the thought. And it's pinned, you know, to the page.
Wow. Third person. What does that mean?
Well, you're looking at it as though you're another person. For example, you might see a car on the highway. I see a red car. And you have that physical feeling. It's fun. It's nice. Or, you know, it's whatever. And then, but you don't identify yourself as that red car. However, you've got a feeling. Someone says something mean to you and you feel awful. And then you say, I feel awful. Whoa, wait a minute. What's the difference between that and the red car? The only difference is that you have interpreted your identity as the feeling rather than you have a feeling.
Oh, my God.
I see the red car. I see I'm experiencing X, Y, Z. Good or bad?
Wow. I get it.
You do. You've always gotten it. I just had to find my words that made me clear what I get. Now I can give it.
This is so good. Okay, now you mentioned default ego personality. Well, you've written about it. Default ego personality. Let's get into that. What is that about?
I suffered it.
Okay.
Yeah, I found out what was the unappreciated, unacknowledged aspect of ourselves, of the problem that made our law of attraction practices not quite so good.
Mm.
So what about the ego, Jules?
Yeah, what about the ego? How does the ego play? I mean, because people always say, well, the ego's good, the ego's bad. You can't live without your ego. You can't live with it. You know, what is that about? Default ego personality.
All right. It's simply getting that we're spiritual beings having a human being experience. We're not the other way around. We're not human beings, however good or bad our lives are, seeking to become spiritual. We always already are and will return to our essence, our spiritual beingness. Call it consciousness, call it the universal whole. It doesn't matter what you call it. And that you are here to have this human experience. Now, my metaphysics says that we're here for a purpose. We're here to experience this, to enjoy the garden, and hopefully to be of some service and to delight in this and play in this. However, unless you have the key that there are two streams of consciousness, one is your heart's or soul's desire, and the other is the vibrational feeling, the default tapes, old tapes, new tapes of the body-mind. Is that helping?
Yeah. Yes.
Appreciating the contrast of those two structures and then being clear of the structures is the pathway to taking charge of your life and destiny and living more and more in your soul beingness.
So writing helps give us clarity as to what's the ego. Well, I would have to say your journaling does this because there's some techniques that you use in your journaling.
Yes. Well, there are different. All sorts of journaling have a value and to the beholder and the user, and that's fine. What's distinct with our journaling is not so much a core dump. It's simply being deliberate, picking a few words about what's wanting to be improved, what's not quite right yet, what would you like to change, and looking at it so that you put it down, get clear, does that feel right? Is that the truth? Remember, like the patient? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Okay. And then it feels A, B, C, D, however it feels. And then as you look at it from the perspective, so each field is a perspective, and you can look at that like a kaleidoscope or different lenses. Take that piece like you have a piece of clay on a potter's wheel. Now, okay, something's not quite right. I'm unhappy with X. Okay, well, what is it that you appreciate about the situation, or what is it that you're appreciating in life relative to that topic? And then what is your soul knowing about it? What's the truth? Or another perspective, how would you like things to be? And then we go back in again, well, what's wrong with this? What's not quite right? Now, what we're trying to do, looking at this from differing perspectives, is develop a, let's say, a key life insight of appreciating the contrast between our spiritual beingness, our soul being, our heart's desire, our essence on the one hand, and the human experience on the other. Mm. And get to appreciate they're two different aspects of beingness. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And law of attraction is simply what is wanted in your life will absolutely, if almost completely, absolutely come from your heart's desires, what's truly wanted. And what's not yet quite right or what's not wanted is coming from the sort of discriminating, discerning ego, fussing and critics and criticisms and worries and concerns, which are not bad. They're valid. However, they're not the senior structure. You're having those experiences, so how do you integrate them, not step over them, and find your path forward?
Wow. This makes everything so much clearer. Really does, because we've always said you attract the good and you attract the bad. But
yes,
now you're able to get clarity on what the ego is doing.
Yes.
And you're able to actually connect to your higher self and understanding what your higher self all about.
The deliberate act of, first of all, wanting to see what's going on, the deliberate act of telling the truth of what the heck you're thinking in this area or that area, the various categories we have, our health, relationship, environment, or purpose. And then once you, okay, this is what I think, but now you're starting to step away a bit, being more conscious, present with that thought, feeling, and you begin to focus on it and perhaps transmute it. Wait a minute, it's valid. Then how would I like it to be? And what would be the result I'm wanting to have here? What is my truth? And then the actions that we have in that last perspective, and it's always a cycle, it's like a spiral increasing, is the action of those effortless, reasonable, harmonious things I can put in place. And oftentimes it's simply being conscious of what's wanted and what's not wanted. What's wanted from your heart's desire, what you truly desire, and getting clear and clear on that. Mm. And then getting clear of what is the guidance coming from our human beingness is valid. But it's like a GPS. I mean, you can change the GPS, change your direction. Most people are so identified with it, and it can be a very fearful thing to step away from their identity, their beliefs, their fixed ideas of who and what they are. Let's call it a software program that was been developed by their family, parents, and cultural background, as opposed to their being the software developer. Mm-hmm. They're going to change how they think and feel by simply attracting what feels better. And that is the heavy lifting is done by your vision.
That is so true. We are so used to the familiarity of our ego that it's so tough to put that down.
Yes, it is. It is very, the ego is a very compelling argument. That's why the writing it down gives you more control and mastery of what you're thinking. So you can simply observe it and feel it. And then you, from that observing disposition, oh no, this is what would feel better, and this is what I want. And suddenly, the mind quiets down, not so much suddenly, but more or less, sooner or later, you get mastery over what you're thinking and experiencing.
So if you're having an upsetting, just to give an example.
Sure.
An upsetting situation with a loved one. And you, by writing it down, you are getting clarity as to what your ego is all about and allowing yourself to connect to your higher self and see a different perspective altogether.
Absolutely. And even in fairness, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We want to say, because what you're upset about may have some very important implications between what it may mean you really need to do. I mean, you may love somebody, but you can't live with them. Mm. You see? You love this person, but no, sorry, I can't live with you anymore. And so your irritation, your frustration is a truth on some level, you see? It's valid, but now you're going to say, you know what? I think we've come to an impasse where I love living with you up to the point that I didn't love living with you, but I love you. Mm-hmm. I adore you. You see what we're holding here?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So again, writing down is your clarity as to what is really going on within you. And so what you're really trying to do is connect to your higher self. So what happens if we have numerous desires for the day? You know, if we just think about it, aren't we just jumbling everything up together and it's really attention is losing power?
Yes, the default drive is got you on a merry-go-round, you know, like the movie Groundhog Day. It's so many variations and opinions, and you get spinned. It's like a whirlwind. And all we do here is like a school of minnows. If you've ever been snorkeling, which I've loved to do as a kid, in the water and the peace and just watching those fish. And I always, when I reach out my hand, I was never able to grab one, of course. They're too smart. But what we do is we take this stream of thought and we take a few minnows, a few thoughts, and put it down. And we've got it right there for our conscious observation. And that's how we start. It doesn't matter what we start with. There's no right starting point, no wrong starting point. It's grab a few words. How does it feel? What is the situation? Make it as few as you can. We say about three words. And then as you tighten your focus, you do something we call a meditative self-inquiry. And we look at it, how does that feel? So it doesn't, like the fish and the minnows looking at our thoughts in our mind, we'll all keep flipping away. This way we have it right here in our journal page. And then we can say, or we discern, feel, this feels good, bad, different. And then how would we like it to be? And we complete a cycle of going through looking at that particular phrase through the differing ways we might have meaning for that few words.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yes. It's almost the striking thing is scary for some people to be so unmoored in their consciousness to look at themselves as having a human experience. Like they see the red car. Now they know they're not the car, but they're so what will happen if I'm not me? What will you see? Uh-huh. So the writing it down helps inanimate it, diffuse some of the anxiety. And then you can work on it more as a potter with a little ball of clay on the potter's wheel.
So when you write it down in the journal, like every morning when you get up and you're setting mm-hmm. your attention, do you go back and look at it throughout the day if you start getting nervous, or do you just kind of forget it and go on till the next day?
Yes, no, maybe. Jules, it sometimes I can follow a thread for a few days, and then I find I've got a little bit dead, a little bit, and I need to step into the river in a fresh place. You never step into the same river twice. So we tell people if they have notes or something, they have some thoughts, they want to save it, absolutely save it, and then erase everything and start again fresh. Mm. So that you get practiced at starting again with, okay, what's at issue? What's the topic? What's not right? What do I want to change? What do I want to think about today? Start right there. Clear page. And then start working with it. Well, how would I like it to be? How would I like my day to go? What's the results? And as they write it down, their path is clear. And something happens, and this is where it's magical, mystical, I don't know which. It's just maybe neurochemistry. It's that the mind is given its instructions, and the mind is a good guide, and the universe somehow starts delivering what your heart has desired. But you also haven't stepped over what's not yet quite right. It's like you're given your triptych planning to AAA and they send you a little booklet.
Wow. Yeah. I'm thinking of past results for me, and you always, you know, you do the writing out on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Of what you want the year to be like.
Oh boy, yes, I've done a few.
Yeah, but you go for the entire year, but you don't really get that specific.
You don't get to the essence of the distinction between what your heart truly desires, because your heart, your soul knows what is your purpose here, what you love, what makes your life work for you. And your ego is so filled with keeping you safe and all those old tapes and default beliefs. So you can't get a handle on it unless and until you make that distinct separation, the contrast between these two differing streams of consciousness or structures.
Wow. Wow. Even though I can go back and I had maybe one or two of those come true.
Sure.
But it was built by the ego and not with the clarity. So I could have had a lot more had I followed through every single day with writing down.
If only we could have been 20 years old knowing what we know now, Julie.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't think it's the way it's laid out for us.
Yeah.
Oh boy, was I missing this consciousness, and I don't know how many scrapes and gaffes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it took me, 50 years to get to the point, 56, to really start using this.
Yep.
Darn, but you know what? Everything works out perfectly.
It's when it's meant to happen. I ask people to say, when I started working with patients in different venues, I say, repeat after me. And I say, my life, and I say, my life is perfect, just the way it is. And I'm perfecting it. And they stumble over it because they have a hard, someone was giving me a hard time. No, it's not perfect. I said, well, Liz, how about this? Wouldn't it be nice if my life were perfect? And then he said, well, okay, wouldn't it be nice if it perfect? And then he couldn't do it. He had to stop. No, it's not. But it is where he was, you see. That was his truth. And you wouldn't want to, you know, push him faster than he can do it. But he at least heard once there's a possibility that his life could be perfect.
And that's something that we have to come to grips with. We could have a perfect life. Now,
hold on. We are having a perfect life.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be nice to perfect it? And here are some tools through this law of attraction journaling. Keep, you know, make these distinctions, ego mind, body mind, human versus your heart's desire, and feel the energy. And you're suddenly able to do it more and more, let's say, unconsciously competent out in the world.
I love this. Tell me, the law of attraction journaling, it has different sections in there. Tell us how we go about the law of attraction journaling. How does it help us because of the different sections?
Well, first of all, you start by going to my website, lawofattractionjournaling.com. And then right on the homepage, I mean, you can look around, but go up to the upper right and sign up for the free journal. It's absolutely confidential. It's encrypted. It's no one. I can't do anything with it, but it's yours. And look at it, and you will see the layout as soon as you open it up and that homepage. And you have a category, health, relationship. Okay, pick something. It doesn't matter because you're all going to be moving it around. It has an omniflexibility, and you can look at it different ways. You can see your screens on the different fields. And you start with a topic. What would I like to change? What would I like to improve? What's not quite right yet? And start there and find a few words. And then you move through the other perspectives. It's like you're doing a 360 turn around that piece of information that you've nailed to that journal page. And that particular topic becomes the words of, well, what am I appreciating about this situation? Or what do I appreciate about the idea of this? Anything. What do you value and enjoy? And there are some prompts and teachings. And then the next field is, what do you know? What is your soul knowing? What's your truth? You know, I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love, you see, I love this kind of work. And you get into your knowing, I know that I'm a spiritual being. I know that God has blessed me. And that is a vibration that only the individual can say, yes, that's my truth. And then from there, we go to the vision, which is simply, how would you like things to be? Well, okay, given the topic and what you appreciate and what you know, how would you like things to be? And it's simply, it's not so much taxing the brain in any of this. It's listening to that quiet voice of the soul. You know, I'd love to be free. Maybe it's like, I love my wife, but I can't live with her. And I'd love to have a, you know, you see, again, you put something out there. And the answers will come as to how you would truly like things to be, what you'd like to have, and what you'd like to be doing. And once that is clear as you can make it, you can go back, and every time you go around the cycling of this, you get clearer and clearer, more easily accessible to your soul's wisdom, and clearer about working with the animal, the body information. And then we get to the current reality as well. What's not quite right about it? And we do a little exploration of what is so uncomfortable. Why do I am unhappy? And you explore where and how in your body, your mind, your thoughts, your beliefs, what's not quite right? What's wrong with it? And that's very valid. We also want to get to the point of appreciating the animal and what's not quite right, or even the discordant situation. And then the final step, and not final because it'll follow around and around, is the action. Well, what's that one thing I can do that would be effortless and reasonable? Because again, we don't want to tax the brain or push the body. We want to move with the flow of our current of our life. And I can do this. Yes, I think I need to get clear about what I'm wanting here. You know what? I need to maybe talk to someone about this. I think I'll call Harry or Sally and run this by her. You see where we're going with this?
Yeah. So a person who thinks that they want to start the day off with making bunches of money.
Yeah, go for it.
May in fact have greater clarity that they would be happier without this load of debt on them.
Yeah, now you've got it. You start with I'm broke. I can't stand whatever the negative is. You start there. And then you start to explore not only how you'd like things to be, because you, if you feel maybe indebted, you feel worthless, you feel frightened, insecure, and then you go to, well, how would I like to be? What do I appreciate? You know, I appreciate how people can earn a lot of money and have a lovely life. And I know that there's a way forward. And wouldn't it be nice if I were financially independent? You see, they're starting to move into the vibration of their truth.
Uh-huh.
And their current realities, they start to explore what is so awful about it, because you can't step over that ego, the body, mind. It's valid. It's here for a reason. It's perfect, just the way it is, no matter how uncomfortable the outward situation is. And then with that clear and clearer and becoming still clearer over time, what's that one thing I can put in place here? Because now they know not only who and what they really are, but how best to proceed in terms of what they want to bring forward in the earth, in earth, on the earth, in their life, in their garden.
So someone could say, I want a better job. But
sure,
through this clarity process, they might find out what they could do in their current job in which to be happy.
Absolutely. Once you start looking at it, you've unleashed the power of the memory of the universe.
Wow.
For all time, forever. And your idea that I've got to get rid of this job, suddenly you might see a whole new way of opening up, making that job meaningful, or maybe you will find you're moving on.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? But everyone needs to start to see their truth, which will be revealed, and their path forward will be revealed if they can hold their attention to what's wanted and what's not wanted, using the simple writing down of a few words in this perspective and that perspective, it will become intuitively obvious.
Wow. This, I can see, and I'm going to be truthful, I'm not one to write down, although I'm on the computer 100% of the time here, but I'm not one to write down actually everything. So what's more effective? The typing it out on the computer or actually doing the pen to paper?
I think it's a matter of individual choice. I find that I can work with it on the computer for myself because I'm thinking about it, I'm focusing on the thought, the meaning of the thoughts, and I can be comfortable with it. However, if you would feel, once you've got your few words or something, work with it on paper. But we want to do the good thing about the computer is that you can, through the word, what do you call it? You know, you can move the words and the change it, edit it much more smoothly and easily. But whatever is going to work for you, I find I can copy and paste and move and get a clearer sentence or a clearer phrase that works for me for each of these perspectives.
Wow.
And then someone had asked me, do I do the journaling? How often do I do journaling? I said, well, to tell you the truth, it's occasionally I'll do it, but I find that as I practice the journaling over the years, I've become more and more unconsciously competent to do it, but I also have to do a little bit of spring cleaning and weed out some of the old tapes. So I'll go back to it again to do a refresher to make sure some of my thinking and my understanding of what my heart truly desires is pristine, is clear.
So you truly know then when you have to go back and do the cleanup. It's like you're intuitively, it seems like you're just connecting to heart-centered, the spirit-based, your higher self.
Yes, Jill, to people that do have a regular exercise regimen, they will quickly know when they have missed a few of their training or exercise sessions, and they don't feel quite so well, you see. And the same is that when I find I'm getting a little foggy, a little muddied, a little, that's the time I have to do that aeration of my thinking and take it back to my heart center.
Wow. This is so good and so important. So you are saying to us that you don't journal out every single day, or do you write out an intention every single morning when you wake up?
I do. I'm involved in a meditation and a clarification of what I'm wanting, but I'm also in the process of working with an editor who helps me and editing some of the material. So as I'm writing the content of what I'm presenting, I'm always getting clearer. This is what I feel. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. And it's interesting. Every time someone sends me something on their Facebook group, which we have almost a few thousand members now of our group, that it gives me another chance to clarify some information. So in a way, I'm always journaling by becoming clearer of what's not quite right by their questions and getting a better answer.
I see. So that's really cool that you, of all people, are on your Facebook page.
Well, I must tell you, I have a social media person. I always feel like I'm 12 years old when I'm, and what is this and what is that? And I can handle a lot of very technical things like some of this conversation, for example, but social media doesn't come easily to me. So I take help. I mean, sure.
Sure, but you read it.
I do. And they'll notify me, and then I'll say, well, what is this person asking? And by getting their question, I start to get clearer. And then by my clarity, I can put something in place, a system in place. And so the language and the presentations becomes more crystalline, more user-friendly, more as a real sense of bonding with others.
So we need to send people to your Facebook page.
You got it.
What is it?
Well, it's Law of Attraction Journaling Group. Law of Attraction Journaling Group.
On Facebook.
Yes, and they'll get all the prompts and the directions from our their sign up from the free journal on their homepage, lawofattractionjournaling.com. And there's all sorts of information, downloads, and guidance. And we have every Thursday at 5 p.m. a Law of Attraction Journaling Coaching Seminar where we listen to people and we try to help them. And sometimes we look at what they've written if they feel comfortable with it and help them with the editing process so they're clear.
Oh my goodness, that is so fantastic. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Yes, Boston time. And it's a, yes.
So it's 3 p.m. No. It would be
2 p.m. East Central. Excuse me, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
And right.
Wow, that is powerful. That is really powerful. Now, are you writing a couple of books?
Well, it's all there, but I've never felt that to write a book, I found that I was taxing my brain.
Ah.
And using too much reference to others, I just had to find a free-flowing soul expression on this thing and that thing, and then it's emerging. That's why we had talked about a previous interview a year ago, and it said that I'm not so much getting better in this process, but getting clearer. And until I could be clear of my message, I just couldn't. It was tangential. In fact, I really mean tag, and it didn't feel right to write a book or say things right now, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. because it just didn't feel right. No, I don't want to do that. And
wow.
People are encouraging me to do video, do this thing. And I appreciate all they're saying. And yes, but you know what? Not yet, not ready, but we keep on going. It's not that I want to step over anything, but on a heart level and what was uncomfortable, it wasn't the right time.
Uh-huh.
So that's my best answer, and I'm sticking to it, Julie.
So, you're still seeing patients, though.
I do. I see fellow travelers, and we share the journey. And it's amazing how the idea of the doctor, or even the guy, drops away, just being there. And when I work with people, certainly in the private practice, that are using the journal, it's amazing. They open up to a whole different world. And it's their world. It's their soul. To go from A to B. And somehow they intuit the answers and solutions because they're grounded in the distinction between their heart's desire and taking appreciation of the valid human fears, doubts, or feedback they get.
Wow. You know, you seem much more like a friend than you do a medical doctor.
I think a good friend might obviate the need for all this medical stuff, psychiatric stuff.
It is wonderful. This is so informative. So I want to send everybody to lawofattractionjournaling.com and get your free journal. Start writing this down. I never, until I talked to you, and I've been doing Law of Attraction for such a long time, I've never really thought of doing it every single morning, but the clarity and doing the journaling, oh my goodness, it's like you are changing without having, I mean, the clarity is just coming to you.
You're taking conscious responsibility for what the heck you think and feel and reframing. You say, no, it's like you have a menu in front of you of a great, huge restaurant. And no, I won't have this today. I'll have this and have that. And you get to decide because it's all coming from you.
Wow.
You're creating your menu, how you want things to be. And as to going, doing it every day, it's simply, we don't want to get where we're doing the brain and should. You know the old expression, thou shalt not should on yourself. So find a rhythm that works for you is what we would suggest. Again, effortless, reasonable actions, and start to see that it becomes more and more compelling to start looking at it again. You become more curious. You're
wow.
following your own breadcrumbs, so to speak.
Wow. Michael, this has been a tremendous interview. Oh, man, this is great. I hope you'll come back on and share with us some examples from your patients and people from the 5 o'clock or your Thursday night get-together, because I think this is exactly what people are looking for. And it's tough right now to get the clarity and to
yes.
separate ourselves out. And I think this is the absolute or definitive answer that we're looking for.
We think so, Jewel, that as you pay attention to what you're thinking and be clear that this is the animal, it's important to appreciate it, love this physical being. At the same time, know that you are a spiritual being. Your heart is here for a purpose. And as you get comfortable with it and clearer, your life unfolds magically, may I say? in the way your soul has truly desired from the time you came into this life.
Powerful.
Jules, thank you. And I, you know, from your lips to God's ear, it says, I would love to walk this with you. So I'm available and I'm thrilled to be at this time with you. I'm as much excited as you are to be in this dialogue.
Oh, you are wonderful. Thank you, Michael. And you're coming back onto my show. And oh my goodness, everyone, just go to lawofattractionjournaling.com. This is when I'm going there. I'm signing up. I'm doing this. This is what I'm doing today. Nothing else. I'm focusing on this. Michael, thank you again. It's been such a pleasure.
My pleasure. And God bless you, Jewel. And thank you so much for everything.
Well, that's it for the week, my friends. So let me leave you with this. You are not only magnificent, you are a very, very powerful spiritual being living a human experience. We can tap into this universal connection at any time you need to give you the answers that you are seeking. Remember, these are not generic answers. These are your answers, and they will guide you through everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all designed to give you greater clarity in your life's journey. Enjoy this life and enjoy your magnificence. And stay tuned, because we are bringing you another great show next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to jules@loaradionetwork.com, and have a great week.
Be still thy soul. see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Them grow, they learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.